seated, please. After the lesson, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I remember four very special days in my life. One was April 15th, 1973, actually at 8:53 on a Sunday morning. One was May 22nd, 1984, early in the morning. And another was August 9th. 1985. And outside of June the 2nd, 1972, those are some of the most important dates in my life. You know why? Because those are the dates when Allendale, Megan, and Heather were born. And I'm sure that you could rattle off the days when your child was born. I could tell you the stories of all of that, but you don't need to know all that. You wouldn't be interested. But the first one in particular, I find interesting as it compares to the situation we're going to talk about this morning. Because on April 15th, of course that's easy to remember, you know, tax day, 1973, it was a 17-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy in there with a bunch of older men in the waiting room waiting to figure out what was going on. And there was all kinds of complications and difficulties. And the next thing you know, Janice and I have our firstborn child. After promising that we would wait till we got out of college, because we got married 3 days before I graduated from high school and she was just a junior. And we promised that we would wait to have children for 4 years. And 10 months later, here he came. So, you know, we weren't real good at that, but the point is, those were special days in my life. And there was another time when probably about a 17 or 18 year old girl was giving birth. Now, let me say this. Daniel mentioned this as well in his thoughts on the Lord's Supper this morning. Typically, in fact, when I was younger, I began preaching full time 36 and a half years ago. And when I was younger, I avoided the birth of Christ in the month of December like the plague. I avoided the resurrection anytime close to Easter like the plague because I didn't want to be viewed as religious groups that somehow have made Christ's birth a religious kind of a observance that, like, God had told us to do that, and He didn't. We don't know when He was born. But as I got older, I began thinking a lot about that. And you know, though, again, as Daniel mentioned, it's the sacrifice. It's the Savior on the cross, not the baby in the manger, that makes all the difference in eternity. However, there could not have been a Savior on a cross if there hadn't been a baby in a manger. I am thankful that He was born. Do I know when it was? No. But you know what? I'm also glad there's a day that the world recognizes that He was born, because it seems like from Thanksgiving to the end of the year, people get just a little bit nicer. Folks tend to focus on people other than themselves. The concept that Christ taught that we should live by year-round of giving to others seems to permeate people's thinking and filtrate their minds more in the last few weeks of the year than it does any other time. So I'm thankful that folks celebrate what we know as Christmas. It's not a Christ Mass. It's a holiday. And for me, it's a great, fantastic family holiday. But the reality is, if I am, as Paul said, he became all things to all people, that by all means, he might win some. If talking about the birth of Christ this time of year will open a door so that one can teach the whole truth to a person, then far be it from me to act like I should ignore that topic. So, that's what we want to look at this morning. You remember when your children were born, holding that little person? You remember that? How special that was? About 2,000 years ago, there was another young lady, and probably a man that was several years her senior, that had that same experience, holding their firstborn child. And we can go to the book of Luke. And it's a rather lengthy reading, but I'm going to start in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Follow along with me, please. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Again, you have most likely a teenage girl and a faithful man. He proved his character when the law of Moses made it clear that if a young lady who was unmarried engaged in sexual relations with a man, she was to be put to death. Well, Mary turned out to be pregnant, and Joseph knew it wasn't him. And so he didn't know at first, but because he was a man of character and he loved her, he determined he would put her away privately because he did not want her to suffer any more than she had to. But then he was instructed in a dream, in a vision, that don't do that. Mary hasn't done anything wrong. This child is from God. And so he took her to his wife, and then, as we noted, Caesar Augustus said, "I want to know how many folks I got. I'm going to take a census. And to do this, you got to go back to where your folks come from." So since he was of the house of David, he went to the city of David, the small town of Bethlehem. And then the child is born. And out in the fields, where there were shepherds keeping watch over sheep, an angel came and told them about the birth, and then a chorus of angels sang, and so they decided, let's go into town and visit. And so the first folks that visit the child are shepherds visiting the chief shepherd, the one who ultimately would be, as Peter put it, you know, the head, the chief shepherd, over even earthly shepherds that we know as elders and so on. And I find it interesting as well that they were shepherds. They understood the innocence and the defenselessness of a little lamb. And they're the first ones to visit the Lamb of God. As John the Baptizer put it in John 1:29, that takes away the sin of the world. So you have shepherds paying homage, bowing down, worshiping, if you will, the Lamb of God. Now that's interesting, but I want you to notice what it says about Mary. She may have been a young lady, but she apparently had some deep thoughts. And it says she pondered these things. She knew that this child was unbelievably special. I don't know how much of a full understanding she had of who he was and all of that, but she knew that this child was incredibly special. And then out of nowhere come these men that they've never met and relate this amazing story of angels and so on. And they come and bow down to her little baby. And so she thought about that. And she kept those things in her heart. And then when the time was right, they brought him to Jerusalem. We pick up again in Luke 2 with verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Jesus was presented at the temple, according to the law of Moses. We know that he was 40 days old because you can go back to the book of Leviticus and let's read, just look at a few verses from chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One is a burnt offering, and the other is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. Obviously, Mary and Joseph were poor. They could not afford a lamb, so they brought the two turtle doves or the two pigeons. And so we have God in the flesh, the Word incarnate, lying in a feeding trough, born to a mom and a supposed father who didn't even have the financial wherewithal to afford a lamb, to purify him, to buy him back, if you will, from the Lord. They were poor. And so here at the presentation, you have Simeon, you have Anna, you have Mary and Joseph. And we know that a year or two later, there were wise men from the east. But on that night, there were just those folks. And as Mary held her little baby, do you remember the first time you held yours? You looked down, you counted their fingers and toes, didn't you? Yep. And when all looked well, how'd you feel? What did that do to you? What'd Simeon say? When he saw the baby Jesus, he said, God, I can die in peace. When my child was born, did you tell anybody about it? Did you let your friends know you now had a baby? Did you tell them the thing, how happy you were? What did Anna do when she saw the baby Christ? She went out telling everybody she could find. What did I do when my child was born? Let me do something for you. Have you held the baby? Let me put the baby Jesus in your arms. And I want you to look down and look at that smooth skin, those pretty eyes, the innocence of a child, and know that in 33 and a half years, that face is going to have spit and blood, and that back is going to be laid open, and these little hands and feet are going to have nails driven through them. You know why? Because me and you are sinners. Look at the Christ child that you're holding in your arms. What do you feel? Peace? Contentment? Happiness? Joy? Or maybe guilt and shame? Whatever I'm feeling, if it's not what it ought to be, but let me encourage you. Hold the baby. Contemplate what that baby meant for you and for me throughout his life and his death and his resurrection and even now, his intercession. And when we hold the baby and you look at the beautiful innocence of a child and know that he came to from heaven for me and you, if a response would help, not to the baby, but to the sacrificed Savior on the cross, then come down front while we stand and sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.